When you all know I went to London, right? Yay, we thank God for bringing me back. So I got to London, and for the first 2 days, I was sick. Lying in bed, my sister rubbing me with soup, and you know, and I was milking it a bit too, you know. I missed it, and you know, resting and you know, pretending like the world is over. And my sister keep on rubbing me and taking good care of me and all that. So for 2 days, I had my plan, my agenda. I was going to rent a car from the first day I get there, and I was going to drive around. There were people I wanted to see all over London. But God had a plan. There were some people I believe he didn't want me to meet. So the first 2 days, I didn't get to rent the car. And so the third day, and the main reason why I went to London was that my close friend, who was my best man, was getting married, you know, so it would have been nice to be there. So the wedding was on Wednesday, was on Saturday, so I went on, I think, Friday to pick up a car because his, again, British people like to do posh things. Everybody marries wherever they are. They chose to go into a village somewhere, some romantic hidden place. Very nice location. So if you're going to go, you have to drive somehow. So I had to go pick up a car on Friday. I got there, and the guy checked on the computer, and he says to me, okay, we have one car. And so while we were standing there, I just thought, let me ask if they have an automatic car, because I drive manual, and in Britain, manual cars are very common. That's what they drive. So it was okay for me to drive a manual car, but I've been very used to driving automatic here, so it would have been a lot easy to drive automatic car. So I just said to the guy, do you have any automatic vehicles around I can have instead? The guy checked on the system, and then he said, I'm not sure. And then while he was talking, his manager was passing. So he stopped and he called his manager. The gentleman wants an automatic car, and the manager somehow you went onto the computer. Oh, there is one available. It's a Mercedes. Hold on. The moment she said it's a Mercedes, I said to myself, I'm not going to pay for Mercedes. I just need a car. Do you know what God did? The Mercedes that was an automatic car that was given to me turned out to be a lot less in price, cheaper than the manual car the guy was going to give to me. So God gave me a luxury car, comfortable. I tell you, the drive was so smooth. God gave me a comfortable car, luxury car to drive in. Secondly, not just that, at a very cheap cost. Children of God, God is not limited. I'm just sharing this with you to know that the God you serve is not limited. He desires good things for us. And sometimes he will bring it to us in the least expected ways, but he will never take away from his quality of who he is. So be open-minded, love him, and cherish him. And which is what brings us to the final part of our series. What series are we doing? The Shepherd series. Let's go to Psalm 23, please. And who would volunteer to read for us? Who would volunteer, please, to read Psalm chapter 23 for us? Okay, I see some hands. Somebody be bold. Let me know you really want to read it. Okay. Hold on. So someone has beaten us all. Thank you all. Thank you. Sister Sylvia will read it.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hallelujah. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Today we are speaking on the subject, blessings for the future. Blessings for the future. You see, there is blessing in worshiping God, loving God, living for God, honoring God, having Him in your life, believing Him. Today we were studying downstairs at Bible studies. Those of you who haven't been coming to Bible studies, real talk, at 9 a.m., you are missing out, because we are learning some really good things on the book of John. So please do come out. But today we learned something about believing in God. And so those of us who believe in God, there is blessings for us, not just now, but for the future. Not just now, but for the future. I want to take us through a few things. I mean, so this has been, today is the sixth part of this series, and it is ending today. And we first started with the first part of this series being the Lord as shepherd sustains. Where He stays, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah? And we talked about that. Also, the second one is how the shepherd sustains. When God is sustaining us, how He sustains us. He says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And we saw that God's perfect place of sustenance is Himself. He's leading us to Himself, into Himself. That is where the perfect place of sustenance is. And then we moved on to the third part, which is the Lord as a shepherd leads. The writer says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And we said that God restores us. He's on a journey of restoration. First, to Himself as God. And secondly, anything we have lost, God can give back unto us. And then we went ahead to verse 4, the gift of the shepherd's presence. The gift of the shepherd's presence. The writer says in the verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we saw how God's presence in itself is the perfect gift we could ever have in our life. If God is present with us, what else do we want? If Jesus is in our life, what else do we want? To the extent that even when God decides to discipline us, it is for our own good. And the discipline of God is actually sweeter than anything else we can imagine in this world. And so we talked about that, and we came to the Lord as a host. That was the one we did before I left to London, which the writer says, yea, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God is the perfect host. If God prepares a table for us and calls us into a relationship with Him, His hosting is the best you can ever imagine. I know, and I did talk about how I've enjoyed spending good time. Some of you have invited me to your homes, and I enjoy that. But that which we get from God is more than what we have on this earth. And so today, we are looking at the final part of this series, which is blessings for the future. The writer has said all these things, and then he comes to a place where he sees himself being blessed forever. And I've touched on that before, but the writer says in the verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercies shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, to the writer, there are certain two angels that will follow him for the rest of his life as he relates with the shepherd. All while we have been seeing the writer writing in the form of the way the shepherd relates with him, the way a shepherd takes care of his sheep, because David, as the writer here, himself was a shepherd. And he could see himself being shepherded in a better way than how he would shepherd. Which also then points to us why David was a good king. Because he had learned to shepherd sheep. And then from shepherding sheep, he was able to somehow gain experience from taking care of sheep into being a good king. And it's no wonder that he himself attests all these things to the anointing of God that is upon me. He says, you anoint my head with oil. And so God, and we said that anointing is divine favor that God gives us to be able to be effective in everything we do. There is this special blessing. There is this special touch of the Holy Spirit of God in our life that allows us to be better at everything we do. And King David is a perfect example of what we mean by when the anointing of God is on someone. We know that God called Samuel to go and anoint King David as his choice of a king for Israel. And Samuel went to anoint David. And right from when King David was anointed, over a period of years, we see David, the young shepherd, moving from the young shepherd to becoming one of the greatest kings that history has ever come across. Because of the anointing of God that is upon him. And so this writer here is writing, and in his view, there are two things that follows a child of God. There are two things that comes with being a sheep to this shepherd. You remember in the first part of this series, we said that every sheep, the special thing about God as the shepherd, he's looking for sheep. But we choose him. Normally, shepherds go to the flock, they go to farms, and they, from their experience, they know a good sheep from a bad sheep. And so they look at the herd of sheep, and they tell the owner of that herd, I want that sheep, I want that sheep, I want that sheep, and they buy that sheep, and they go to begin to take care of that sheep and breed them and create their own sheep, their own flock. But in the case of this God, this shepherd, even though he's coming after all of us, we choose him. The sheep chooses his shepherd. And which is why the writer says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I have chosen this shepherd. This shepherd did not, even though he wants to choose me, I have given myself to him. That's the difference here. And so it comes down to now the verses, and he's saying, if we do choose this shepherd, if we do choose God, there are blessings for the future. There are blessings. In his view, as you can read this passage, this shepherd has done a lot of things for him. But he comes and he says, surely goodness. Goodness and mercies. I want to touch on the goodness here. Goodness is a thing that does not harm us. Something that is good for you and I will never harm you. It is good. It doesn't harm you. The opposite of good is bad. Bad means it is not good. There is only damage in it. There is only destruction in it. There is nothing sweet in bad. But good has everything to do with sweetness and right for you and I. You can also bring evil in here. That this shepherd is a good one. And you and I can tell from reading this passage how this king, this shepherd, had been a good shepherd. Everything he had wanted for his sheep was the best. Best treatment. He would make room. He would anoint his sheep. He would take care of his sheep to be good. He will make sure the sheep goes to rest. He puts the sheep to rest. He takes very good care of the sheep. He provides pasture. He leads the sheep to the best on this earth, the best food to eat. And we have said that the perfect place one can ever be is in the Word of God, in the presence of God, where there is goodness, where there is richness, where there is fruitfulness, where there is reprocreation, where there is joy, there is everything you can imagine. Good. This one is good. Good for you. Like the way I went to UK and the woman came and she said, oh, you know what? You were going to pay for that, but what we have is better for you and cheaper. Good for me. Good for me. Goodness. Goodness. Only that which is not harmful for you is what God gives. He says that, I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of good and not of harm. Thoughts to prosper you, thoughts to shield you, to protect you, to increase you, to provide for you. Everything about this shepherd is good for you. Goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. 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 And so when you read Nehemiah 9:20 says, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. You also gave your good spirit. When the presence of this God is with you, when this shepherd is with you, it is only good. Everything you get from this shepherd is good. Everything you get from the Lord Jesus is good. Everything you get from God is good. Even when he disciplines you, it is good. And so the word of God says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Everything is working out for your good. It is all for your good. No matter what. Because this God is your God, you are only marked for one thing, goodness. Goodness. So whatever situation you will find yourself, wherever you would go, and you remember he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, even in the midst of the most difficult place, the most tempting place, the most evil place, the most wickedest place, the most whatever place that you would find yourself, because this God is with you. Goodness, you are good. You cannot be evil. That, you see, the thing about the child of God that believes, like the way God wants us to believe, is that there is nothing like evil in you. Which is also why, if you really do believe, you really do believe, like the way scripture says we believe in God, you can never die and end up in hell. You can never die and end up in hell. Goodness will always follow you. And it is not only for this world, but forever. But forever. The first angel that follows you, as the writer says here, is goodness. Goodness. All things are working for my good. Things are getting better. For the Lord is on the throne. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. I tell you, I do get difficult times. There are times when I have hard times. But when my hard times come, those are the times I begin to sing these songs. I begin to remind myself that goodness is with me. No matter what I'm seeing, no matter what I'm hearing, no matter how I am feeling, I am good. I am better. I am comfortable. Satan knows. You can ask my wife. Sometimes in the most challenging situations, I begin to praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you ask me, what are you thanking Jesus for? Thank you, Jesus. Thank him, Jesus, because I am always better wherever I am. Because Jesus is with me. He is with me. He is with me. And then he continues. Our writer says that apart from goodness following us, mercies, he says, mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Mercy is the covenant that we have with God. Mercy is basically unmerited favor that you receive from someone or something. And the writer says that when you are in this relationship with God, the other thing that is in your life is mercy. It is unmerited. You remember that this shepherd does everything he is doing. He is not doing it for any profit, but only because he loves you. Everything that the shepherd is doing, everything Jesus has done, him first loving us to come and die on the Calvary cross, not just dying, after we have believed in him, everything he has done for us, me going to London, going to rent a car, and getting a better car at a very low price, is all goodness. And it's because he loves me and he cares about me. He wants the best for me. He does not want me to be destroyed. And so, all that he does for me, I need to begin to understand it is not because I worship him better than others. It is not because I look handsome than others. It is not because I come from the best race on this earth. It is not because I am very highly educated. It is not because I have some good connections in this world. No, it is not because, hey, I smell good by what? His mercy. He chooses to do all that he does for me because he wants to do it. Mercy. I didn't do anything to earn what he does for me. Because I can never repay him for the breath that you are breathing today. I mean, imagine if there was a meter in our nose that reads, and it goes to Con Edison or something. If somebody found a way to make profit or to make money from people breathing air into their system, I wonder, I think that person will become the richest person on earth. Because every breath you take in, you will be charged for it. Oh, then the clock will tick. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? There are people, I'm not saying this to undermine the position of those people I bear. And sometimes I wish nobody goes through what they go through in the hospitals. But there are people lying in hospital beds who are being supported by machines to breathe. And you and I are sitting here comfortably breathing some of the air we don't even want. Somebody came to me, the AC is too cold. It's too cold here. Things that we take for granted. You see how we sit on these chairs comfortably and they are all well cushioned. We chose the best to pay for it. Some churches don't have what we have here. You see the amount of money that was charged for doing our back and all that. This is areas we don't sit. We just want to do it for looking good sake. Some churches don't have what we have here. Some people don't taste a second of our life that we have. And God has given it to us, not on any merits or on anything that we did, but because he wants to do it. You see, all these two points to the gratitude state of God. God is just a gratitude God. God is just a, you know, gracious God. He just want to do it for you. We serve a God that is generous. This shepherd is a generous one. And so when you are living for him and you are living with him and you are honoring him, you are worshiping him, all you can expect is goodness and mercies. All you can expect is generosity. The word, you see, all this summed up is generosity. Things that will come your way that doesn't go to other people's way. You find yourself being so special, feeling so special, not for any reason, but because you serve a generous God. You know a generous shepherd. Some time ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were making jokes. And he was telling me how his dog lives. And while he was telling me how he feeds his dog, the things he buys to give the dog. You know, dogs even have treats. In USA, not just in USA, Western world, dogs have treats. We used to live by Central Park, and I saw, that was when I really began to see how people cherish animals. The way people play with their dogs. You see somebody lying in the grass with the dog rolling around and kissing the dog on the mouth, and the dog licking them in their face, in their nose, everywhere. I know Sister Sandy does that too. And we spend so much. You know, at some point, I was speaking to a mentor. And the mentor said to me, the minimum amount in UK that you would spend on your dog as a pet is about £50 a month. What am I trying to say here? And so we were talking, and he was telling me how he takes care of his dog and all that. And I said to him, oh, my God. Now I understand why even dogs in Africa will want to migrate into UK, USA. Because they watch all these things and they're like, man, Western dogs are enjoying life. I better relocate. So we have dogs, or even animals, pets, are trying to relocate from Africa. Not that there is not good in Africa. There is a lot of good in Africa. I thank God I was raised in Africa. I lived very comfortably, but God in his own wisdom relocated me into the Western world for a purpose. But I see how the different cultures live their life. And sometimes it is easy to crave for what someone has and forget that you are walking away from something. You see, our relationship with this shepherd is so special and unique, generous, that others will begin to see and crave for, will begin to yearn for, will begin to want to have what we have if we begin to live like he wants us to live. And so he continues in his writing to the second part. He says, all the days of my life. So basically, in this life and in the year, in the life to follow, it will be good for him. It will be goodness and mercy. Not just that. The second part he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, who goes to see a good thing? Who begins to experience a good thing and begins to say, I don't want this, I'm moving away from it? He had in his life, in his years of relating to this God, begun to see the goodness of this God. He had begun to see the benefit of living for this shepherd, allowing this shepherd to take care of him. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. He has made a decision that this Lord cares for me. This Lord loves me. This Lord wants the best for me. There is only goodness and mercy with him that I have now also decided that I will dwell where he is forever. I will be where this God is forever. You see, many of us have begun to taste the goodness of God. We know the goodness of God, but knowing the goodness of God, tasting the goodness of God, is not enough. You see, you are tasting, you know, but the level of the tasting, the level of the sweetness, the goodness, the mercies, that enjoyable, comfortable position that you are in is not even the best from God. That's why I like the song that says, the best is yet to come. That position that you are in can get better. And so it is not good enough to have the knowledge. It is not good enough to know, to experience. No, it is another step that we need to take. And that is making a decision to live for him. Making a decision to relate with him forever. Making a decision to live for him forever. And the Lord says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and answer, I will come in and I will dine with him. The Lord is the host. And he's saying, if you open up the doors of your heart, he will come in and he will relate with you forever. And Jesus said, behold, I am with you to the days, to the end of days. He is with us to the end of days. All we need to do is begin to open up. Maybe you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. That is good. We need to go beyond just that. We need to really yield to him and surrender to him and really begin to allow him to take full charge and authority of our life. We need to understand that we are not in charge of our life, but he must be in charge of us. He says, the Lord, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. We have to begin to see him not only as a shepherd, but our Lord, somebody that has the right and the authority to control you, to lead you, to guide you. You are choosing to allow such a person to lead you, to guide you, to give you guidance, to give you protection. He is your Lord. Surrendering your will, surrendering your totality to him, and him taking charge of you and using you. And so you see, when it comes to that place, it is not only about knowing him as your Lord, yes, it's good to know good. Secondly, it is also about accepting him as your Lord. Yes, it is good. And now that you have accepted him as your Lord, begin to live for him. You see, we learned today at Sunday school that it is not good enough to have these two things. Another part of it is also going out and being a witness. The woman at the well, after Jesus had shown her love, after Jesus had ministered to her and had told her about living the life of the Spirit, she put a pot aside and ran into town, proclaiming that he had met the Messiah. Are you proclaiming? Are you making decisions that allows the Lord's presence to be with you forever, wherever you go? You see, these days, in the past, the house of the Lord was a location. But it is not so these days. The Spirit, since Jesus came to die, there is no one place to worship God, but the place to worship God is in our hearts. Is your heart open to his worship, to his ways, to his deeds, and his directions? If you can do this, you are guaranteed an unending goodness and mercy. God bless you. God bless you. God favor you. God make his face shine upon you. God draw you closer to his word. God cause you to love his word. God cause you to live a life of holiness and righteousness. God calls you to denounce this world. And God calls you to love Jesus. Live for Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that this hearing of this sermon will not be the end of here, but you will really begin to reflect on your personal relationship with Jesus and begin to really yield to him that you will live for Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that any other Lord that is in your life will live in Jesus' mighty name. And that the Holy Spirit will begin to take full charge of your life, will lead your life, will guide your life, and will guide your heart in the name of Jesus. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever affliction that is taking your focus off of your shepherd will begin to break hold, and that you will begin to live for the Lord Jesus Christ alone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will not end listening to the voice of the Lord. I pray that you will not finish. You will not walk out of the affairs of the kingdom, but you remain in the kingdom. For the ways of the kingdom is of love, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Child of God, I want to give you some time to talk to God.